Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Oh, okay. Well, Lyra, I'm back in my house. Are you guys also back in your respective houses?
I am back in a house, and who knows if it's mine.
All right, just waiting for Taylor to get to her house, and...
Okay, I'll be right back.
Is she just next door or something? Oh, yeah, there she's climbing in through the window.
Okay, I'm in my house now.
We're back.
Yeah, they're all
right
here.
And we're
right
in our comfy clothes.
We're back.
Okay, well, great. We're back from Comic-Con, everybody.
We wanted to tell you about it.
Hello and welcome, everybody.
Whoa.
Oh, hello.
To a further Enchantment Under the Sea.
Oh.
Prom night.
Beautiful.
Adventure.
Wow.
That is the Backwater Bastards.
I'm definitely dressed. Hey. I'm dressed for this.
Hello.
I wasn't ready for that. With me today, as ever, we have Daniel Matthews, a.k.a. Dr. Z, the psychic jellyfish.
Yes, I am a Daniel Matthews, but today not a psychic jellyfish.
No.
That's true.
No,
and
there,
over in the red corner, weighing in at 592 pounds.
Whoa.
It's Taylor, a.k.a. Cleo DeCap, the demolitions expert bear.
But not today.
But not today.
Also, are we doing like a Muppets bit where everybody gets to be who they are except Dan is a human?
What?
Like we are all like Cleo
we're all
and
Muppets,
Boris.
And then Dan is just like
and then you're just
a
Dan.
Human.
Oh, I don't
like
know
the,
if I remember.
That's the formula for like every Muppet movie.
Yes, okay,
there's always
no,
just like some random like human who's there
he
as well.
He doesn't know. He's never seen
No, I get it now. No, I just was like,
he's never seen
him. Yeah. I've seen him up.
It's Backwater Bastards, but Dan is there.
I'm the human.
No, you're Dan.
I'm Dan.
That's it.
And joining us as always, we have the comfortable, the appropriate, the pleasant, the agreeable, and the cozy, the snug, and the loose. DM Dick Dynamite.
Don't understand that last one.
Wow.
I just saw loose and I wanted to
get
say
it. Loose with it. Get loose with it.
I'm feeling pretty loose, actually.
Wow. That's be careful.
Because I've exercised all my demons and like mainly just sort of in sort of raw nerd sweat form at Comic-Con.
Yes.
Yeah. I guess we did do that. We did exercise some demons.
It was pretty warm and I was wearing blazers every day.
Ooh,
we have
I
done
the
Comic-Con
a lot.
And we've come back and we want to let everyone, all of you, know about it so that you can join. You feel like you've been there with us because you were, but you weren't.
So do we just want to start from
hearts.
Day one?
Let's
in
start.
Our hearts.
Or we want to start from day
let's,
minus one.
Let's
when
actually
Dan,
start from minus one because
I think Dan arrived in London.
Minus one, but also maybe start from even zero minus one because all of the fucking work that Taylor
the
has
work,
done
baby.
To get us there.
Well, we all did a little bit of work here.
We did
this
a little
was
bit.
A, this but, was a heavy lift. We've never done anything like this before. We've never taken the podcast to a three-dimensional space.
Cool. Yes.
Sort of. I mean, there was the time in the very beginning when everything was just newly born that Dan and Dick and Evan, Devin, and that's it,
that,
right?
That was us, yeah.
You guys
yeah.
did do a live play on a stage at
it was at one of my
workshops.
Events. Yeah. But that was like just a easy like, hey,
this
I've,
was like,
I've
what,
got an
2018?
Event. Yeah.
Or earlier.
And it was more like, I've got a stage and this time I'm going to put us on live.
So if you want to count
Comic-Con.
That, than you can. But the thing is we've never done anything like this in the past like 5 years.
No.
And so we were like, because Hamilton, this is how this happened. Hamilton, that you probably know if you watch all the other stuff that we do. He does Dragon's Duel and various additional things like the Morkborg game that I did. And he also is going to release the Bowies and Spelljammer game that I'm on. And then he's going to release something else that me and Dan are doing with him. Dick DM'd for his actual play once. Basically, we work with Hamilton a lot. And Hamilton was like, you guys, there's a Comic-Con. Yes. And we were like, what are you talking about? And then we immediately decided to go.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Immediately. Actually, yeah. That's how it happened. And we didn't really know anything about it. We didn't know anything. Dan allegedly had been there before, but probably fake.
No, I had been there before, but I had also been there and had quickly left as well because
apparently it's like 21 years old. So you probably went to it like 3,000 different management changes ago.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I went as a guest the only other time I'd been there. So this one, like as a punter, like I bought a ticket and like went to it.
Like as a regular person.
Just as a regular person.
That gets to enjoy their life when they're there.
Yeah.
Okay. That was not us this time.
No, that was on us. We had a completely different experience.
We were on the clock.
Yeah. We were actually working and everybody that I know was like, that knew that I was going somewhere was like, have fun. On your holiday,
enjoy
and
your
I was like, that's the biggest joke I've ever heard because I'm about to work 24/7, and we freaking did.
Oh Yow. Yes!
Oh my god!
So we get there bright and early. We've got all our shit. And
yeah, we did.
Immediately, we're like sort of struck by this whole like, oh yeah, you better get in there quick. You're not allowed to have things on wheels after a certain time.
Yeah,
that was terrifying.
Tay and I were at the table. We got to figure out a little bit of a arrangement of how the table would go.
Well, I didn't even get to change. I got my flight got delayed, so I had to go to the airport at like 5 p.m. on one day, and then they made me wait in there until like 2 a.m. when I got to fly out. And then that flight got to the UK. I got off the plane. And then I got in a cab, and the cab drove me straight to the freaking convention center.
Yep.
And it was already like almost like 8:30 by the time that I got there. So I was like, I'm just going to jump to the hotel and change out of my disgusting plain clothes. And then I went straight in, no sleep, and hosted a panel.
Yeah. And
that
brilliant.
Was the energy of the entire weekend.
But yeah, we organized some tables, arranged how we were going to be, and then you know, I was, Taya and I were already at the venue. Dickie was coming in from just out of town with all of the stuff. And when I say all of the stuff, it's like boxes and boxes of things. We had to hire a man with a van.
I think I had about 12 boxes.
Yeah.
I think Dick probably beat me to the venue.
I was there pretty early, but I couldn't do anything because I had 12 boxes. I just had to stand and wait. Be like, right, someone must be coming. Yeah. Someone's coming for me.
So I went around and asked, like, hey, how can we get these boxes in? Can we use a trolley? And they were like, oh, I don't know about that. You know, the trolley's not going to be, you're not going to be able to use a trolley past this time. And managed to find someone with a trolley and be like, can I use it for 5 minutes? I just need to do one trip. And thankfully, whoever you are, you said yes, you let me use your trolley. Rushed out to find Dickie on the side of the street.
I wonder if we should buy a trolley.
Oh, maybe.
I mean, I had a small trolley. Like, if we were happy,
but this
like,
was industrial
with,
trolley.
With the suitcase and the small trolley, it would have only been a couple of trips if we had three people working.
This
at
this one here,
I mean, basically,
this,
this
was
trolley
a,
was a godsend.
This was a pat. This was a
we were running out of time.
Trolley.
That said, like, I had things on wheels. I had my double bass just like running through all the punters. No one gave a shit. No one tried to stop me. So
yeah, because we brought suitcases
lying.
In at different times because we would put shit in the suitcases and nobody said anything about that. I do get
wanna,
it though. Because the amount
players
of
all have
people,
suitcases.
The amount of people that were in there, like you would not want to be doing wheeled crap through that.
There was what, like 60,000 people there on Saturday.
That was a 67,000 person.
Well, let's stick with the setting up. So we're
okay. So we set up.
So we got in, and me and Willem brought a suitcase, and it had 15 kilos of dice.
Yellow,
inside it.
Sparkly dice. They were brilliant.
And some black ones that were clear with black clouds of evil magic because that was a test.
Yeah.
And then the mixed
one
bag.
They had like a little bunny rabbit inside it.
Yeah, there was a bag called Pound of Dice that was 80 to 100. Mixed randoms, and that was when I was first investigating how to buy dice in a huge amount, and I realized very quickly that that was not going to cut it. So then I took a different route entirely. But I was like, I still want to give these away. Because
fuck yeah.
Let's be honest. That's 100 dice.
Well, you came in with your suitcase, opened it up. It shined like you know, the loot at like the end of a boss fight.
I mean, you guys saw the TikToks. You guys saw the TikToks where I laid on them. The noise.
You did the Scrooge McDuck?
I tried.
Scrooge McDuck.
It turns out that that wasn't enough to fill the bathtub.
But
it was close.
Yeah. And then you also had shiny bags.
Holographic, baby.
Holographic shiny bags.
Holographic.
And so then, this is kind of like a structure for the entire weekend, ignoring all the sort of like the troughs and peaks. At most times, we had two people sitting at our stand giving out these packages, and we had two people sitting behind our banner at another table assembling these packages.
We like our episodes coming out on this podcast feed. It was made the day before type thing. You know,
really did not think it was going to take that much time to make the packets. Yeah. Holy crap.
Wow. I mean, Willem that was what? 3,000?
Willem made thousands of packets. Like, he must have made at least 2,000 of the packets that we gave
alone.
Out.
Yeah.
Because he was by himself half the time.
What a hero.
So yeah, these packets, holographic bag, a yellow dice in there, two stickers, because ordered 10,000 stickers, didn't I? Because, you know, not going to just get 3,000 stickers, 10,000 stickers.
So there might have been more than two stickers in those packets.
Some of them had four, some of them had two.
Yeah, none of them had one.
Much like at the start of the month when you have the full load of toilet paper, you use a bunch. And then by the time you get to the end, you go, oh, actually, I need to stretch this out.
Are you only allowed a certain amount of toilet paper a month? Like,
yeah. Is this?
Yeah.
Do you just buy more toilet paper when it starts running out?
Yeah, but like, I guess when you can't have, yeah, when you're running out of toilet paper. Yeah, you spend all your money on dice.
That's a thing that happened to us, okay?
So then we had to switch it back to just two stickers in each bag. And then stickers.
Yeah, two squares of toilet paper.
Yeah, and what's it called? Little business card that had a link to the show and some other things, which you can see in the show notes. If you want to see that link and see all the freebies that people got,
you
can go there and get it yourself as well. So you don't need to miss out, but you will not get the dice or stickers. Those are for them, not for you. You have to come see us at a con.
Bam. But who knows? It was really cool. It was an experiment. And so, I don't know, maybe we're going to have to do dice again.
I mean, it seemed to work nice. You're
going to have to tell us how you feel about it.
They're not so prohibitively expensive that they're like a bad idea to give away.
Yeah.
More of a keepsake than a flyer, after all.
And so what else did people get to see as they approached our stand?
God, the giant banner.
We had a massive banner, which is very cool.
It was bigger than all of us.
Shout-outs to Bodhi. Bodhi! Link in show notes. He did the
artwork
all of our stuff, and it was brilliant.
And the banner now lives at my home.
Nice.
It's protected and safe, and we will use it again, I think.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, it's only got a couple of nicks in it. Yeah. Can't say the same for the cardboard cutout with the cutout faces.
That was the funnest thing.
Taylor ordered us a cardboard cutout of Boris, Cleo, and Z, and then Willem, again, Saint Willem, cut the head holes out.
Based on Dan's face.
Yes.
So they were huge.
So it was massive. So everyone could get their head in there.
No matter how big someone's face is, they'll fit it in there.
It will fit in.
Because if it will fit Dan's.
Exactly. That was the thought.
And it was correct. And it worked.
It was correct, yeah. And so, yeah, our stand was fucking lit. We had
it was fucking lit. It was incredible.
Out.
We had a yellow tablecloth.
Yellow tablecloth. Oh, it was just
we
really
had a
cool.
tiny banner for the table that looked like the giant banner, but it was little.
It was just a miniature
size. Just in case you got too close to be able to see
and
the giant banner.
And we had 30,000,000,000 actual Dan drew a spaceship tabletop map.
I did.
And we printed it out onto these flyers that you could like open up and make it bigger.
Yeah. It was meant to be an A5 flyer that would then lead you to download the digital one, but it came as A3. And so,
which means it was way bigger than we thought it would be.
It was a happy mistake.
That turned out to be cool because then you could take this map right then and you could just fold it out and play. It was big enough.
Yeah.
And that was incredible. And we had so many of them. And we were just like handing them to people.
Yeah.
And then there were packets to hand out. And there were... It was madness, and we had loose stickers everywhere and little cards with the QR code.
Yeah.
Just the stuff. And we had hidden a whole bunch of fucking strepsils because we lost our voice every single day.
Strepsils.
And so I ate an entire box of strepsils by myself, blackcurrant. Shout out, you guys.
Shout out, blackcurrant.
Definitely didn't save me, but it probably kept me alive. holy crap. And we drank like a bunch of water.
A bunch of water.
We had a few little tricks as well to this. So we had, there's a secret toilet.
Secret toilet.
It seemed to be
Nope.
60,000. Well, I'm not going to tell them where it was, but there's 60,000 people there. And there's only seemed to be about 20 of them that knew where the secret toilet was.
Oh, that was a godsend. Being privy to the knowledge of the secret washroom.
That was really special.
But I will tell you one thing that this secret washroom provided was an overhead view of the entire exhibit space that we were in.
Oh, again, I'll put a link in the show notes again if you want to see that.
We are going to post the picture so that you can see what it looked like because it was a bit crazy.
It was heckin' epic. The day that photo was taken, 60,000 people were in the event that day. And then the view that you see in that photo is just the room that we were in. And there were several other rooms. It was wild.
It was huge.
It's big.
Yeah. And then so on top of that, we had our amazing yellow little corner of paradise in the London Comic Con. But we also had next to us a dark and foreboding table colored red for scary...
Scary feelings.
Scary horror shows.
Terror and darkness.
Yes. And next to us was the incredible Dark Dice.
Travis and David.
Travis Van Groff and David Ault were there manning their table, giving away stickers as well.
They had a gorgeous diorama inside a plexiglass box of their miniatures, which were like terrarium. Fully assembled, painted, and like set up in a scene. Yeah. And the terrarium had like, there was terrain inside and like little and grass. And like,
it was so cool. They were just pulling people over to be like, come look at these cool models set up in this little pose.
Just look at them, but so don't touch because they're in perspex.
It was a party pose for their characters from their show. Dark Dice, if you haven't listened to Dark Dice, then Dark Dice is an actual play show, much like ours. But Travis edits the holy heck out of it so that it is very much more an audio drama. An incredible amount of work goes into that. But him and David Ault were just incredibly nice people to be sat next to the whole time. They helped us make packets right at the start when we were getting swamped.
It was so cool to finally meet them.
Yes. Yeah. No, they were super cool.
In real life, IRL.
In the rails, in the flesh space. And at the red table of scares, we also had David Ault there, a member of Dark Dice podcast, Voices, IS Innskeep. But he was also there to promote his own show along with Dark Dice, which he's just started, called Shadows at the Door, the podcast. And so it's another scary collection of macabre tales. So
terrifying.
You can check that out in the show notes as well. But yeah, so we were there with yellow and red. One of the common things I was saying during the weekend was like, when you're done laughing with us, you can go over to these people and cry with them. And then they would say the same thing. And it was a nice little kind of...
Spooky scares.
Yeah. A nice little pass-off between the two of us. It was really nice.
So, speaking of Travis, he then joined us when we did the Dungeon Masters panel that Taylor set up and arbitrated.
Yes. And I heard so many good things about this. I actually still haven't watched it.
It was on
the recording.
We're going to drop the link. And I know there were some people that had trouble accessing the video, but it's on Vimeo. We'll pull a link to it. I think somebody downloaded it, so we technically have it for real. Maybe we can put it on our YouTube.
We could do that, probably. I'm sure that the MCM don't mind that, right? It's got all their branding all over.
I think Fiona
already
put it on hers.
We'll do that.
Yeah, I mean,
link in show notes.
Went very well. I think this is the main thing.
I was DMing the DMs. That is what
I'm
going with.
Yes, I hope we have. There was obviously myself.
It was you. And it
Travis from Dark Dice.
Fiona Howitt from What Am I Rolling? Where?
What Am I
Podcast
Rolling?
And DM's Book Club. She co-hosts that with Hamilton. And Nate from Dice and Desire was on there. And then Travis from Dark Dice and White Vault and Fool and Scholar and all of those things. And then... Fuck, is that it?
Myself, that's me. Yeah, like, there's just four of us. But it was like such a, it really felt like we had like a diverse style of dungeon mastering. Like when we're all answering these questions, we were able to give different answers and come at it from different angles.
Yeah,
really did feel like just an interesting panel, maybe even a useful one. We had a few
that
like crowd questions that we helped out with.
But I heard that you say that you had a diverse style of DMing because I did hear that you were like the improv kind of narrative storytelling way, which we know and love, and then Travis was the plan and write pages and pages of things before going in and have everything figured out. So what were the other two styles that were there in the panel?
It was pretty mixed. I feel like, because I mean it it was only an hour. It was a little under an hour. So yeah. we didn't really get to like super dive into everybody's personal. Yeah, we didn't dive deep into
it. I mean, but we all definitely had like different sort of, I think we existed different sort of positions along that spectrum. Like Nate as well, like, I originally say that, I don't do a lot of improv. And then suddenly, like, you know, he's coming out with all these stories of stuff that he does improv. So like, you know, every DM does definitely exist between the two of those things, I think.
Yeah, it was really cool. And I think for me, I was just shocked, A, that we were on a stage. That was wild. I was really glad that we were on a stage because I hadn't gotten to take a shower yet, so nobody was close enough to smell me. Amazing.
you say nobody. Very few people were close enough.
You guys.
Oh, wow, Dickie.
That was where we were at. That was the flavor of the day. And I couldn't believe, like, we're on a stage. This is happening. These people are here. We're doing it. And there were butts in the seats.
Yeah, like, people were sitting there waiting for us to show up.
And that's, I was like, surely they're not waiting for this. But they were.
Yeah, they were all like responding like to actual D&D and tabletop stuff that we see. And it's like, hang on, you guys, okay, so you're not just sitting here because there's a comfy chair.
And
you've come for this.
I was shocked by that. Yeah, that was great. I was shocked by that. It was really cool. People actually came to see this panel. Then an article came out about it like right after. And I was just like, oh my God, I guess this worked. It was cool. It went well. And we, like, everything just flowed. It was really cool. It was the first thing that we did. I hadn't eaten or slept, and we did it anyway. And it went so well. And everybody that was on the panel, absolute heroes. There were some really cool answers that I wouldn't have expected. And it was like really abstract stuff and some really practical stuff. And for somebody who is not a DM, I was kind of thinking, like, what would I ask these people if I could have any advice?
Yeah.
And that was what I was looking for, because it was like a lot of people, I think, want to do this. And it's terrifying. I mean, it is, like, especially when you already, you know, play and you have a DM that is extremely talented, extremely used to it, has a few tricks up their sleeves, has been in a few battles, you know what I mean? And, like, you kind of want to know how.
Secrets. How is it done?
Or at least get some.
You just,
like,
show up on the day and just try and hope that it works out.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's a mixture of that and like just wanting to hear where they have been. And I think we got that from the panel, because there were a lot of questions like, oh my God, what do you do with voices? How do you handle this? Is it necessary? And I think that everybody had a very different answer, and it was really cool to hear it, because these are all people who do this well.
I like the fact that Travis's answer was basically like, yeah, voices are too important, so I don't do them myself.
But that's a really cool viewpoint. And it was cool to hear Nate talk about how he was like, I'm not good at this. And then it kind of felt like maybe he was good at it, and that was just his opinion. But the thing is like, I think it's valuable to see how different people approach this stuff, because the truth is that, like, it's terrifying, and media has blown this hobby up to be massive and difficult. Yeah. And you get exposed to a lot of people who are professionals. And by that, I don't mean they're just good at it. I mean, they have a team and they have time and they have the resources and the money to only do this. And if you had that, imagine what you could do with anything. And so if the only people you're ever exposed to are these people who are like, yeah, I'm a professional actor and I have a team, like, it's going to feel a bit hard to, like,
yeah, it'd be a bit more unassailable.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, I don't know. We didn't solve any of the world's problems, but it was kind of a cool moment to be like, hey, you could do this if you're into it.
Yeah, I heard so many good things. And I definitely need to watch the video.
And then you're listening
as well can watch that video as well, because it will be in the show notes.
Yeah. So, guys.
What?
Saturday.
What? Saturday.
Saturday.
So no one told you life was gonna be this way. I just slapped my face instead of my hands, and it was a bad move.
Oh, you're so funny.
I don't know if I would recommend that.
He did it again. He just said, it's a bad move, and then, well does not learn from his lessons.
There you go.
My cheeks red. Saturday. I came in, like, on fire on Saturday.
People warned us about Saturday, but we didn't really get it.
I wasn't carrying any boxes and have any shit with me. I was dressed up like the Dayman.
You were?
From Always Sunny... Or a Sunny musical episode, The Nightman Cometh.
Yes.
And I just rocked in, and I found there's like So I'd worked out on Friday that there's no point. There's like multiple Costas in there, Costa Coffees, but don't go there because everyone goes to the Costa and the queues are crazy. And there's like three poor fucking underpaid staff trying to work it. I found there's a little chicken sandwich shop that for some reason never had anyone there. There's like and they had three people working in there.
Yeah.
Like, no one wants these chicken. And in the mornings they did like breakfast rolls.
They also had filtered coffee.
Rolls, and they had filtered coffee. So I come in, I get my breakfast roll, get my filtered coffee, zoom on in.
Yeah.
Now, these guys are already there, of course. I'm actually rocking up late. I come in late, but I feel like I own the world.
Yeah.
Table set up. It's like, right, guys, let's go. and we go, we fucking did, because like we gave out, I mean, like the bulk of our stuff on Saturday, I think.
The Saturday was so busy. Like once it started, it did not stop till the end. At one point, I wanted to try and find a bathroom. This was before I found out about the exclusive secret bathroom that was hidden behind an unmarked door.
That was a dark time.
And that's all I'll say about that hidden unmarked door.
Yeah, that's
one time, and I was like, whoa, not anymore.
Fuck that. I'm just gonna start going through unmarked doors until I find a secret toilet.
But when I went to the toilet that I did know existed, I had to walk towards the main thoroughfare corridor between the building that split these massive halls up, and the torrent of people walking through that scared me so much that I just turned around and went straight back to the table. There was so many people, so packed together, just moving. It just felt dangerous to enter into the torrent of people. But that's how busy it was.
Yeah, it was literally bumper to bumper in the hallway.
Yeah, as people came out, if they came out of one of these entrances, we were just right bang on the corner there. And yeah, it was brilliant.
Oh,
we,
what's all this then?
Yeah,
what's all
this we had then? A big gathering at our table, not because anyone knew us, just because they wanted free dice. And then that's how we suckered them in, listener. Yeah. We got them in with the free dice and stickers, and then we told them about our adventures in space.
Oh, and talked to so many people.
We got to
and,
talk
like,
to so many,
many
of
them.
People.
Like especially the people that were like coming and striking our conversations were all people that play RPGs, like people who are in the middle of their own pen and paper campaigns.
Yeah.
People who are like, Dungeon Masters players, all had stories to tell. And like, like that, when we gave them the dice, they're like, better check if it's a lucky one, like seeing if it rolled a 1 or a 20. And
I have heard that a few dice have already gone into dice jail.
I have heard that. It's yep.
Well, we did curse half of them, so it's to be expected.
You don't want to know how Dan cursed them.
Oh, you do not. Well, he also blessed half of them as well, and you don't want to know how
you
we
don't want to know about that either.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
But yeah, we were just sat at our table are standing the most part of Saturday. And I will say this, I did take my shoes off on Saturday and I was standing behind our table in my socks and I felt brilliant.
Yeah.
Day one, I felt so gross because just, ugh. But day two, shoeless.
Just let it all hang out. It was, we already had like the Comic-Con sort of stench over the area.
Yeah. Yeah, it was powerful.
You get that many humans squeezed into a hot room, like half of them wearing like fucking foam armor,
huge and, cosplays, and
there
the
were
cosplays
so
were
many.
Incredible. Oh my days! If you met us at London Comic Con and you were in cosplay, you looked amazing.
You did.
It got to a point where I was just telling every single person, "Wow, you look incredible!" And
if we were staring at you, we are sorry.
Yeah.
We were exhausted and amazed.
Yeah.
And together, that is dangerous.
Yeah. But I mean, the day is a bit of like a, like, I remember so much, but also so little because it was just talking to thousands of people, hundreds of people, giving them things, talking to them, talking up the show. And then suddenly it was like evening and Taylor was going off to go on stage to
Every day we were on stage, guys. Every day.
Every day.
Like, every
day. I don't want to, you know, we're not allowed to say it about ourselves, but I did hear others saying that those backwater bastards, hot commodity. Wow, put them on stage.
Wow, put them on a stage.
All we got to do is get these kids on the stage and they'll sort out the rest.
The world's a stage when you're a backwater bastard. Am I right? Am I right?
Oh, we painted
were on stage
it yellow,
every day.
And Tay, you went up and you did some type of horde mode D&D.
Yeah, I played a live game on Saturday night. We closed out Saturday. It was out of control. I was up there with a final boss fight. They were the ones that organized the game. And Steven from Roll the Damn Dice was in that game as well. And myself. And basically what was happening was it was us. It was kind of a meat grinder situation. And we were just trying to get through it. And, you know, I guess we did. I was a wizard and I was called Brick.
Brilliant name for a wizard.
Yeah, I thought so too. And I kind of realized that I can't attack with Mage Hand, which was kind of my plan.
You can't attack with Mage Hand.
Like, can't you? But you can drop bricks on people. So there you go. Like, there's a lot of different things.
There's always a loophole.
There's always a loophole. Always look for the
loophole.
I think
you can grab someone with a Mage Hand.
You can, but like but it has to, you know.
You can't squeeze too tight. There's a certain point the Mage Hand's like, nah, I will not harm.
Mage Hand locks up. Like but it's good for a lot of stuff. And you know, you
it's got
can
the
really,
arthritis.
You can upset people with a Mage Hand. That's something you can do.
A tickle.
And I can, well.
I'm going to make its fingers go up their nose.
Nice.
You can rip somebody up. You can
rip somebody up. They're trying to fight me, but This Mage Hand is like slapping them and shoving his fingers in their nose. It's not going to hurt them, but it's just going to keep doing that the entire time. They're trying to hit me with their sword.
Like an Evil Dead or something? Like, what's going on?
that's how you use it to win a fight.
Well, you can do that.
Do I get advantage now that they've got a finger up their nose trying to dodge this attack? Surely.
Listen to this asking for advantage. Unbelievable.
Oh, the DM's doing it now.
Yeah, everybody.
This is assuming I'm a player.
Wow. I guess.
Well, you had butts and seats there as well. I only got to come over for 5 minutes to see, but
me and Dan were busy at our sides. We both got to go over and have a little look.
Yeah,
that was
like,
really crazy. There were a lot of people there, and I was like, I was like, why are they here?
I know Dungeons and Dragons. They went to go see some Dungeons and Dragons.
It just shocks me. Like, it just, every time we did a stage thing or even just being at the table, I was constantly like, whoa, people are talking to us. Why? Like, it's just, it goes to show that, like, you undersell yourself more than anybody else ever will. So,
especially
cut
us.
It out.
Yeah, we're bad at it. We've always been
hard.
Bad at
it's
the,
hard.
People don't even know our names, and they want to go see it because we put on good things. Yeah. Even the synopses sound
and
good.
And Sunday was proof of that, but we'll get to that soon.
Oh my god!
Oh, I mean, do we want to just get straight to it? In fact,
what did we do every night? What did we do every night? Was it
you got a little, you
was
Saturday
takeaways?
Night story?
Oh,
did,
was
what
it
did
takeaways?
We did takeaways? Did we get takeaways every
bed?
Night?
Takeaways in bed every night. Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, I think it was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had to race back to King's Langley, but...
but Taylor and I went back to Tay's hotel.
Next time that we do this, though, Dick, like, we need to plan it so that you don't have to do that, because that was hell.
Oh, yeah, that was... Next time we'll
have to... Not for us, but probably for you.
But for you.
I mean, my double bass was the big issue.
Well, next time, if you have a gig, like, we need to plan it so that the bass came out in the van.
I just need to not have a gig.
We will share a bed next time, Dickie. But, But yeah,
next time, we got to make this so that nobody has to do that, because that was expensive and hard and crazy. And it was the end of the night. Everybody's absolutely knackered. And Dick's got to ride the navigate trains for 2 hours. No.
But then we went back to Taylor and I went back to Tay's hotel room and we ordered takeaways. And we
sat
there. I
saw the photo. That was a spread.
Okay. That was a big spread.
It was not supposed to be that bad. Because
there's three of you, right? And you had three of us. 12 bowls or something.
I was excited.
Yep.
I don't get to order really exciting takeaway because I've got the same couple places here that I can order from. And so it was very exciting to not be here ordering takeaway. We were in a vibrant living world, London.
Yes.
And London. Oscar Wilde Londonium. Says, when a man tires of London, he tires of life. And that's where we were at, people. Mm-hmm. We were
in
London.
There was an infinite amount of takeaways.
We were
you could
in
take
London,
away
and
whatever
there
were
so
you want to
many
take
takeaways
away.
That it actually didn't have an end to the pages.
Yeah. No, it's overwhelming.
And you couldn't. You just couldn't. You couldn't navigate it. And so we were let's get a Chinese.
Let's get a cheeky Chinese.
Cheeky Chinese. And we did.
Oh.
And it was...
It was consumed.
It was a thing. Actually... I don't remember even what we got, but the thing is they gave us extra food with it because they were like,
you ordered so much food, you must need extra food.
Yeah.
I think
and
that's
we,
what they
we
thought.
We didn't need extra food is
we
the problem.
We already ordered extra food.
But we sorted it out. We consumed a lot of it, and then I kind of foisted a bunch of it off on Dan to bring home to his family, which was Travis and David.
Yeah, so I was staying about a little bit of ways with Travis and David, an Airbnb thing. And so I came home with the spoils from
and
Tay.
They were gross. Get that out of here.
David got in there and started eating that rice.
Okay,
but yeah,
good.
So now David and Travis are both of the scary horror variety when it comes to things. We are obviously
so
of
that
the funny
Chinese
smiles,
could creep them out.
The comedy, the ha-has. They were of the boo.
Yes, yes.
And so yeah, we started talking about scary stories. We shared a few, one-upping each other along the way, as you do, and when you're in your 30s,
you
have to prove that you're
one-up anybody with scaries. I think it's more the things you are scared of.
Yes, yeah, that's definitely the approach I took, and I let them know.
You made a mistake by divulging all of it.
Yes, I told them of my fear of the hallway men.
Yep,
and of people under the bed, things like this.
Yep.
So I came out of the shower.
What happened?
Darkness.
To you?
Everyone's asleep.
I feel like you can already see where this is going.
You probably can.
It's really rewarding to go on that journey, though. So I think.
Yeah, I have the towel wrapped around me, seductively. But it's nighttime, and I'm by myself, so I can do that.
Self care. When you're the main character.
I'm the main character. I could do that. So I get into the room that I'm sleeping in. Can't find the light switch. I'm like, oh, it's over by the sink. I go over by the sink to find the light switch. Can't find it. I'm like, fuck
it. Can't find it.
I'm just gonna put some pants on and get into bed. I walk over to the bed, standing in front of it, put the phone light on, and bam! What's that under the bed? It's an arm and a leg. It's a David Oak. And David Oak goes, bleh! Out from under the bed. I jump back and I go, oh, you bastard. You know, I keep my composure. I remain cool and calm. I also was very scared. So,
right.
It wasn't that cool and calm. I go, oh, that's very scary. Jump back. He proceeds to laugh at me. I go, okay, fair enough. Funny. And he goes, the light switch is over there, Daniel. I go, thank you very much. It's by the door. I walk over to the door to get the light switch, and then Travis jumps out from behind the door and goes, and gets me again.
It's almost like they knew.
The double jump scare is just too funny.
They got me, and I was just like, okay then, fuck you guys.
And I have been vicariously living off of this since, and I'm still being powered by it.
They went to their room that they're sleeping in, and I hear them giggling away for half an hour at least, like kids on school camp. You know, they are just giggling, and
it energizes you when you jump out and scare
Nothing
someone.
Nothing energizes you like scaring another person. It really doesn't.
Yeah. So I was then like, okay, well, good. They got me. Nice. Time to relax. Time to turn off. Time to let this weary body, get some energy back.
Yeah.
If it goes quiet, too quiet. I roll over to look for the hallway men, and guess what's there? It's
the
a David Ock crawling along on his belly along the floor towards my bed, going, sliding towards me at a very slow pace.
Love this.
And so again, I go, get out of here, you bloody David Ock, you bastard. And he laughs,
your hallway
and he goes,
men.
You bloody hallway men. And he goes back to the bedroom. They proceed to laugh and giggle for another half hour. And I, exhausted, passed out. And thankfully, no more scares for Daniel. But
unless they might have been standing over you, like hoping you would look up and see them.
They probably were. But
I love it.
Usually I fall asleep listening to podcasts. That night, fell asleep listening to two grown men cackling away in their bedroom.
That's beautiful.
It was very nice.
It's beautiful.
Obviously, the first thing I did in the morning was tell Taylor, because Taylor is
an
appreciator
scare.
Of scares. And
I wanted to do some scares to Dan when we were in Portugal together, but I was scared that he would like punch or... Because I go hard on scares. And so I was like, what if I do a scare to him and he like hurts people?
React very badly.
Exactly. Because I was like, I think I've gone, like I had a Lizardman costume. And I
was
like,
really good though.
I was like, I think this might be too scary. And Willem looks at me and he goes, yeah, it is. Cut it out.
I think the thing was like, we were suggesting that you go hide in the room or sneak into the room.
Well, that's
like,
what I was going to do.
The problem is that is kind of too scary. Like,
but then I was like, what if he kills exactly my Jolie fear, the in the women. Night? What if he kills Jolie in the night over it?
Oh, yeah.
Or what if, you know, worst case scenario, you
okay,
sneak
this is
it
worst
on
case?
Us. I'm a spooky lizard when you open the door and they're fucking.
Also that. I was also like... because then that's scary for me. Like, because
we're doing the
I was
quiet,
like, what if
the
I,
quiet
like,
hotel bang where you're like, don't make any noise, but get
wait,
it.
Wait. I just had a mental visual though. Like, what if I'd been under the bed and that started
dressed
happening? What if? No, listen. What if I'm under the bed waiting as the Lizardman, and then you guys are like doing the thing on the top of the bed, and then I start like pushing back, and you're like, what is that? Can you imagine like having to stop and be like, something's in the bed that isn't us?
It's helping us. There's a lizardman in this bed helping us.
And then I stick my head out like this, and it's the lizardman.
There's no good way to extract yourself from that situation.
That's a great way. I'm not saying it would be like a great thing for anybody involved, but it would be hilarious. Yeah. But I was worried about like, what if, like, because what if Dan attacks someone in his fear?
Oh, you're making me out to be some type of violent aggressor when
we don't know
scared.
That. We don't know, but what
I
if...
think we, I think we now do. I think we've got a benchmark
I
now.
You've just made that up.
I have made it up because you're like larger than us, so it's like we don't know. Like a regular movement for you could be catastrophic to us.
Yeah. And like, also, like, you all move so slowly as well.
It's like the Goliath. We don't know what's going to happen. Like, you could... It's like the brownies in Willow. Like a small movement from you could be devastating to us.
Mumble,
and so,
Jumbo, I am hungry. Go fetch me some eggs or something.
We're worried about it. So, like, we don't know what's going to happen. And then also, like, I was like, oh, my God, there are so many contexts in which, like, I could be the Lizardman hiding. And then butts and weens. And I'm just, I had to
So that was
myself.
The end of Saturday.
Yeah, butts and weens.
Ended with scares.
I just want to say that we definitely taked away every day.
We did. And then Sunday.
I want to be the very best, like no one ever gloves.
Sunday.
I'm wearing gloves and I'm wearing vests. And I'm also wearing scarves, because it's cold.
I'm gonna keep me warm throughout the winter day.
Bam, 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 bam.
I got boots because I like puddles. They're super fun to play in the puddles.
So Sunday, Sunday. I mean,
Sunday.
From my
Sunday.
Perspective, it was. I had to come in with my double bass because I had
you
a
did.
Gig up straight
Sunday
after.
Was a weird day.
I got in real late. I trains weren't working. I got a double bass. I was like, oh, yeah. But I got in there, put my double bass down. These guys again, set up like saints.
Yeah.
Managed to get to my chicken sandwich shop and get a coffee and a breakfast.
Sunday
breakfast
was the
muffin.
Only day that I was first.
Yeah. we all had a day apart from Dick.
But Sunday was a big one. Because
Sunday was big.
Not only were we just unloading the last of our stuff, we managed to we've made all the packets. Now we can relax.
Got rid of all the packets.
We had one box of packets left and we were like, this is going to be done by lunchtime. And we managed to stretch it out. We became, you know, much like the toilet paper analogy at the start of the episode.
We rationed them.
We were rationing them by this point. It was down to like...
Wait a second. Are you gonna roll this dice? Okay, you can have it. But Sunday, we gave out more stuff, obviously, but We got to go on stage together.
We also had Hamilton join us for
the
Sunday.
Hamilton came on Sunday.
On Sunday, we had to say goodbye to David Ault and Travis Van Groff. They had to leave. And
Dark Dice exit stage left, but enter stage right.
Oh, who is it?
Dragon's Jewel with Hamilton.
And Fiona.
And Fiona was there too, and they had a whole bunch of stuff on their table. And these massive, gorgeous posters. Oh my
God. They were so good.
There was a poster for DM's Book Club, which is the show that Hamilton and Fiona do. And if you like D&D, you should listen to this show because they kind of walk through a whole lot of content and talk about how you might use it in a campaign, which for people like me is kind of helpful because there's so much stuff. And like figuring out, you know, they do the heavy lifting for you. They read through it. They study it. And then as regular people that just love the stuff, the hobby, the, you know, lifestyle of adventuring, they talk about it and they approach like the different angles of use and what can you do with this? What's a thing that you could change? How could you change it? How could you manipulate it? And they have these really great shows, episodes that you can listen to, DM's Book Club. And then there was also a giant poster for the Morkborg game, Theater Macabre, that we just made, and I'm in that one. So if you haven't watched it and you like scary stuff or you like Morkborg, which is so fun, it's such a fun system by Free League, you can watch that. It's out. It's on the internet. It lives on YouTube and all these places that videos live.
Oh.
And we are costumed in it, so like it's really cool and it's beautifully edited because everybody over at Dragon Studios, they have like these incredible editors and they do this gorgeous work and make us look way better than we did when we made it. And then he had a poster. He had so many posters. I can't even remember how many. And there was a Bowie's and Spelljammer one that's not out yet, but it's coming. And you really are going to want to watch it because A, it's Spelljammer, which is like shiny, new and exciting. We're all a different Bowie. I'm out of my mind, which I guess is what I do in all of these. So nothing's different. More of the same. Only it's a yellow wig this time. So just be aware of that. Exciting. Fabulous. Yellow. And then there was a poster for Dragonstool.
Dragonstool, which is a little something that kind of took up a big, big chunk of our Sunday because we were on the big stage.
The
center stage, is it called?
Yeah, it was the center stage, and it was probably like the biggest stage I've ever been on in my life.
Yeah, I mean, they fit 800 people in there.
Oh.
And it was all curtained off. So basically, like, people couldn't just wander in off the street. People had to, like, queue up and be like, I want to go into this thing. Like, I'm going to go in, I'm going to be seated, and then it's going to happen. It's like we're a movie or a play or something.
Which was very scary because we couldn't see the queue.
Terrifying.
So for a minute, it seemed like there
and
was
no
one.
And then they filed in. And literally hundreds of people had filed in there to see us play Dragon's Jewel with Hamilton and Fiona.
Yeah, it was very nerve-wracking. We were getting ready backstage before going on. I think, Taylor, you have a video of this?
No, you have a video of this.
I think I have a video of this, yeah. We were doing a little sing-song and getting ourselves pumped up.
We put on the Power Rangers
theme song. We did a weird dance.
And
to
we
the
all
Power
danced.
Rangers. Yeah.
It was a bit cringe, but we did it.
Yeah, I guess if you don't really know what Dragon's Jewel is, it's Hamilton hosts it on Twitch, but it's a Dungeons & Dragons themed game show that's sort of like, definitely takes a lot of its cues from like an improv show like Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah.
Although it does have some other sort of more game show kind of rounds.
Yeah, there's a lot of like game show inspiration in it.
We leant into it because we're doing like, this thing live and like the three of us are really into our improv. We did a really improv focused thing and it was just really, it's really fun. It's really funny. The crowd were really responsive. The crowd were really involved as well because Hamilton, obviously like on Twitch and stuff, he likes to do like audience participation. So like we're like, let's make sure we get audience participation. And we weren't sure because like it could have been very sad. It could have been absolutely none, but there was loads. People were really into it. People knew their D&D. People wanted to be involved.
People helped us. It was very nice because there were some like, there was one game that we played where Hamilton would say like it was like a monster or a creature and Hamilton would say the name of the thing backwards. And I was just like, I can't do it. Like, I legitimately can't.
But thankfully, there were people in the crowd that could do it.
I rely on sort of the combination. Like, I will phonetically take what he's said and try and reverse it. And I'll say it aloud and it will sound enough like the actual thing that someone that knows the lore a little bit better will be like, oh, that's what this is, you know?
No, it was really brilliant. And the Dickie was saying before, like, because I was so scared, I was thinking, oh, there's going to be so many people. And Dickie was like, no, the scary thing will be if there's no one. And, you know, it was terrifying either way, but we got up there and we saw, like, I don't know, as far as I could see, there were people in seats, you know, as far as the light went.
Oh, there were hundreds.
And it was fucking cool.
If that place fits 800 at max capacity, then there are at least 300 in there watching us.
And it was so cool as well, because if you are listening to this and you came to see us, you probably met us at our table and then came to watch us. And so many of you were coming up to us on the Sunday before we went on stage and the Saturday, giving us, like, wishing us luck and saying how, I don't know, it was just very encouraging. Thank you so much. It was really, really cool. And then to see all the faces that we had met at our table in the audience.
It helped.
That was so good.
Because it was scary. It was scary to do that.
It was terrifying. Yeah. You, also, points to the audience, because they had so many good answers to things.
They did.
And they really helped us make a character that wasn't complete.
Especially when we wanted to do like improv rubbish scenes, like Hamilton's getting them for prompts, and they actually came out with like things that were like interesting or funny or dynamic. Like it's
Hamilton
just,
is
you couldn't
so
hope
good.
For,
Hamilton
I
is
couldn't
so
hope
incredible.
For a better crowd than that as well, you know? Like the kind of.
Yeah.
And Fiona like kept us on track
on
and kept
track,
score
yeah.
and
which,
like maintained
yeah, is actually
everything.
Essential. Yeah.
And
I
it's
don't
the
think
only
Hamilton,
reason it worked.
I don't think Hamilton can wrangle us and actually keep score at the same time.
He wants to join in the chaos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just like everybody did exactly what they were meant to do. And it went off without a hitch. And we stayed within our allotted time. We were the event that like closed out the day.
Yeah.
Which was kind of wild.
It was so cool. It was really nice.
I'm still waiting to see if there's video of it.
Yeah, I would like to.
Because so far we've seen video of the DMs panel, which was Friday. And now we're trying to see where the video is because everything was filmed. So we need to track down the video.
It's out there.
We asked them to
make it for us. So it's there.
Mm. Well, I don't know. I'm pretty sure they recorded it so that you can see our absolute shameless failure in many of the games, and then ridiculous choices that we made knowing that we were being filmed and maybe not realizing the gravity of that. So
yeah, but we'll definitely share it on the socials when
myself,
we find it.
So
oh no, we were all there doing the but it was just so much fun, and what a perfect way to end the event.
It was incredible.
Because after that we got to make our way slowly back
we
to
just
the table
kind of,
and
folded our way out, didn't we, like
packed all our stuff up.
And if you're listening and you're one of those people that gave up meeting Michael Sheen in order to watch us do
that,
then you're a fucking hero, because I probably would have met Michael Sheen instead.
made my day. I was
Michael Sheen will be around for years to come, you know.
We
could die any minute.
But Michael Sheen is forever. You saw him in Underworld.
We're not immortal like Michael.
How many times has he been a vampire? What does that really mean? Just saying.
And then, we made our way back to the table. We packed up. And
I had to leave out early. So I don't really know the rest of the story because I went off to play a gig.
Dick had to go straight out of that to go do another show. Can you
a
even
live
believe
music
it?
Gig.
And I saw pictures of it. It looked phenomenal. It was a big show.
That was fun. It was fun. That went well as well. Like, I don't know.
That's
like,
hero
I was fucking
shit.
Exhausted.
Yeah.
But I was also like, I was so energized. Like, Comic-Con really like, kind of filled my brain full of like, happy chemicals and buzziness, because everyone we met was just in such a good mood and just so receptive. And it was just,
It was
nice. I came out on the stage like fucking absolutely shattered and not caring. I was just happy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Shit, that's beautiful.
Meanwhile, Taylor and I went back to the hotel room and ordered takeaways again.
And then we got back to the room. Everybody bathed, which felt incredible. Yeah. And then we all like set ourselves up in bed and we ate Chinese.
We did eat some Chinese food and it was fucking glorious.
It was from
and
a different
Taylor
place
and I
though.
I watched some very odd English TV, which we won't get into too much, but
we're gonna maybe
you think that's but that might be a sidearm.
That's
you
a
think.
Sidearm thing.
That's a sidearm. If you want to know about what we watched on television while we ate Chinese food, you're gonna have to listen to Sidearm because it's definitely not going on Main.
Yeah, it gets a bit blue.
We all watched it together with our
Naked Attraction.
We should have done face masks.
Look, we were too exhausted.
Chinese food, British reality TV, and face masks.
We also watched the strongman competition, which
that
was a
fun.
Bit terrifying in a way. Yeah.
They cover themselves in sticky glue.
They glue the stuff to themselves, which is wild.
But that but was you know our what, right? London Comic Con experience.
We did have one last day after that. I did get to see you guys one more time.
Yeah, because it wasn't part of the event, right? Because the event was over, but we were still there. And like, we
need
journeyed.
To do something chill something for together. Ourselves.
We journeyed something into nice. The bowels of Hackney.
Oh, we got right in the middle of Hackney.
We tried to go to a shopping mall to buy clothes, but that was terrifying and we failed.
We failed because it was
and
big.
Then we had to leave immediately because we were like, we're going to be late. Because Dick and Rachel had booked us dinner at a fancy restaurant called Chicken Sours. And when you pay, you get a wet on tattoo, which I think is freaking great. But
oh, yeah, mine's still not even washed all the way off, actually.
Mine is gone because I use a washcloth, but...
Wow, sold out.
I scrubbed that thing off hard because I was like, this is not happening. I'm not having a half wet on tattoo. However, let me just tell you, this place was incredible. Because they had like pre-arranged cocktails.
Sour cocktails.
And I was like, every single one of these is good.
Yeah.
How is it gonna look when I order four? And then I stopped caring.
No, we finally let loose and enjoyed ourselves a little bit that night.
It was incredible. And then after that, we journeyed to a bar that Dick told us to go to called Helgi's.
So it's one that comes recommended by me. Helgi's in Hackney is...
And it was awesome.
I feel like it's an institution these days. It's like, it's sort of, yeah, they've gone for a real like grungy, like maximalist dive bar kind of
It was
aesthetic.
Incredible. It was incredible. It was like
very,
the coolest place.
Very satanic. There's a lot of pornography on the walls and the loves.
Yes, yeah. The I loved it.
Like 70s pornography.
It was amazing, and I was drinking cherry ciders, and they were actually good. So it was like my dream because anything cherry flavored, I'm here. I'm there. If it's cherry, I'll eat it. I don't care what it is. If it's cherry flavored, I'm in. And it was amazing. And it was dark and there was like, it was loud. And there was like, every table had a bottle on it with like an ancient candle stuffed into it. And there was wax.
You could imagine.
And
imagine the
there
rituals
was a
that
fight
happening.
And a guy ran outside with that he got a baseball bat from under the counter. Yeah. And I was like, this is amazing.
Counter bat.
Oh, I missed.
And it
the
happened like
bat.
Three times. Like the guy had to keep coming back to get the bat from out of the counter. And I was like, this is just like in TV.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And I was like, how'd they find a baseball bat in the UK? It's a mystery. But it
as
was
a softball bat.
Okay, what? Well.
Yeah, people play softball here.
It was
it's
a
not,
bat.
Not baseball.
And, it was a bat. There was, and what happened out there, we don't know because the windows were coated with a mysterious liquid. So we didn't
red
get to see the fight. We were afraid. We stayed in our chairs. But a bunch
are
of
Dan, any baseballs getting hit.
A bunch of Dan's ancient friends came from his past life.
Yes,
they're not ancient as in like they're like all these funny little old men, but
they're from Dan's previous existence.
Yeah,
that's
and
why.
So that was
okay,
nice. We all got
get
to,
on board.
We all got to drink together, and
I got to meet these people that like shaped Dan.
Yes,
it was incredible because like
sort of like molded him.
Yes. I walked away from that experience with a lot of stuff. I now I actually acquired a lot from that encounter, and so now I know who to talk to if I want to get semi-permanent fangs.
Yes,
I have the hookup.
You do.
Thank you, Jacob. And then I also have a new poet / songstress to listen to, Lydia Lunch. I've been imbibing these videos over the past few days. Thank you, Oscar. Mm-hmm. And like, I just, everybody was like a human moonbeam. It was such a nice, a nice experience.
They were really nice. And they had been messaging
saying...
Well,
you have to say that.
Well, you know, I moved away because they're all bastards as well. But, you know, like...
Actually, they chased him out. That's why he can't be there anymore.
But no, they're...
he was voted
really
off
nice
the island.
We all had no chance to do anything social from this weekend. And I think going into it, you know, knew it was going to be a lot of work, but did not realize how much work it was going to be until we got to that Sunday and following Monday.
Right.
But holy heck, that was our trip to London Comic Con 2022, and it was incredible.
And we left that bar, okay? We left that bar. We got in an Uber to go back to the hotel, and then Dan had to pack and head straight to the airport.
Yeah. I was about to say, I can't remember this because, then
come in hot and then leave hot.
Yeah.
And half cut.
We really did.
Yeah, it took all night. I was then traveling from that drunken bar all the way till 10 o'clock the next morning to get
home.
And
it almost didn't happen because Dan kept saying, I'm leaving on the second. And I was like, I'm leaving on the second. Are you leaving on the second? And Dan was like, yes. And he said it many times. And I was like, okay, I'm leaving on November 2nd. And I made the shape and everything. And Dan was like, me too. And then we got closer to it. And I'm like, just check. Okay. Yeah. Because he was very excited. He was like, we're going to get to share a cab together. And like, it's almost like God must exist.
I did say this.
And Dan was like, it's almost like God has like, is rewarding us. Like, we must be doing the right thing because of this serendipity. Yes. And I was thinking to myself, I don't think that's real. I don't think this is really happening.
Haven't we always known that you're leaving the day before?
Exactly. And I feel like at the last minute, Dan was like, no, I'm leaving right now. And I was like, yeah, that's what I thought. And he was like, but I was just saying the second because it's the second day of the week. And I'm like, that's not
not how dates work.
That's not what I'm talking about at all. And so Dan did have to go to the airport by himself. Yeah. And me and Willem had to go by ourselves too, which was sad because I'd actually started buying into Dan's shit. Yeah. I was hyped.
Well, look, I believed it.
I was feeling so good. I was like, this is like there's a God.
Oh, I mean, a shared airport maybe experience is always better.
It would have been really nice. Maybe there is a God. And that means that we're going to share this transportation experience. No one has to feel any bad feelings. We're going to get there together. And then we're going to journey off. And that is not what happened because I guess there's no God.
Yeah.
So have
God
a great day.
Dead.
Bye. Anyway, there might
be
a couple.
Comic-Con.
There might be a couple. But yeah, that was Comic-Con. That was Comic-Con, our first Comic-Con ever, sort of.
That was fucking incredible. I loved it.
It's a milestone,
it was so much fun.
Baby. Year of the Bastard. We did it.
Year of the Bastard. We did it.
We did it. And like, it's just every time we do a thing that we never imagined doing, it just feels huge. It's like, this is one more thing that happened. And the only reason this stuff happens is because you guys are with us and you listen and you have chosen to come on this journey through space and you're in our ship. And
yeah. I mean, like people keep listening and it makes us feel like it is worth us trying to expand and trying to be, you know, like this big long lasting thing that we could now be because
of
there's
you.
A bunch of you. There's hundreds of you just listening over and over. And we can't thank you enough.
Yeah. You are why we have the cojones to even remotely attempt these weird things that we don't feel big enough to do, and we do it anyway, and it's cool.
You've gifted us a point of inspiration, and
you are the inspiration.
Keen to do this again, and once again, if you're listening to this and we got to meet you at London Comic Con, then thank you so much, and hello again, and it was brilliant to see
you. It was amazing. Every time we met someone, it was just like, it felt great. It felt like the right thing. Like we're meeting the people that we have always wanted to meet. We live inside this like imaginary box where we make the podcast.
Yeah.
And we don't get to see you or know who you are sometimes. And every now and then one of you finds your way to like the Discord or our socials and we get to kind of connect with you that way. And those of you who are in the Discord, you kept us alive over the weekend with your incredible energy and
the support,
we were a bit braver because of you. And that is 100% the truth.
Yeah.
Because there were so many terrifying moments of, oh my God, do I belong on a stage? Who am I? Why are we here? Should we have a table? Are we even, you know, and it's terrifying, but you guys were there for all of it. And it was super invigorating and inspiring, and the love was so valuable to us surviving that experience. And if you are a new person that we met and you would like to be closer to the chaos shitfire that is the Bastards, please join the Discord. That's where we hang out.
Yeah. The details are in the show notes.
And a lot of the stuff that you guys say kind of shapes the direction that we go in with lots of different things. What we make, how we make it, the adventures that we go on, and the real life places that we go, apparently. And that's the first of what I hope is many 3D adventures IRL.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, let's do it. Like, I'm still a little bit tired from this one, but
I'm
my brain
very
is
tired
ready.
And much broker, but I'm feeling huge about it. Like my heart is so full and I'm proud of it. We survived and I'm just like,
We didn't just survive, we thrived.
We thrived, baby. I'm stunned. I can't believe we did it. And it's crazy. And I'm still like hunting down video, but we have one video and we're going to share it with you. So tell us what you think.
Yes, please.
And
if you've got any
you.
Other DM questions for myself or maybe for the others, you can chase them up on their socials as well.
Yeah.
Feel free to ask those.
And that's it. We made it.
I mean, yeah, I think that's...
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Well, there's only one thing left to say then.
Oh, what's that, Dickie?
Bye.
Bye.
Tune in next time for another Edge of Your Seat adventure in space with the Backwater Bastards.
If you enjoy listening, but also have eyes, check out our Instagram, where we post drawings, illustrations, character art from our adventures. Backwater_bastards. Check out our Instagram on Instagram.
No, definitely. Should we do the outro?
What's the outro for this?
This is the outro we have. Wait,
what if it's Dan in his bed and there's someone creeping along the floor? Yeah, yeah. But then it's revealed that it's Taylor and she's holding up bags of Chinese food.
That would be a good outro if we did that.
Let's do it.
Should I just use that bit as the outro?
Oh, good night, Dan.
I'm gonna switch. That's the outro.
No, I was thinking, should I just use that like description as the outro?
Wow, that's meta. There it is. That's the outro. Dan, it's me, and I've got 342 metric tons of crab rangoon. Just kidding. They don't have that in the UK. This is just miso soup.
I'm having a nightmare.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over 1 million people have fallen asleep to my voice.